It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for July 29th. I'm Noelle King, in for Ben Johnson, in Los Angeles. And we're exploring how technology is changing our lives and our society. What do Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, and Uber have in common? They're all tech companies, sure, but they also share a lobbying group that's trying to influence the laws that govern them. Capital Public Radio's Katie Orr reports.
Last month, drivers for ride-sharing companies Uber and Lyft flooded the California Capitol building. They were there to protest a bill that would toughen regulations on their industry. Senator Alex Padilla noted the discussion was one that wouldn't have happened a few years ago.
The wonderful challenge that we have on complex issues like this is in large part driven by technology and innovation and things that, you know, 50 years ago people wouldn't have imagined, forcing important public policy questions.
Now tech companies want to influence how these questions are answered. Robert Callahan is the executive director of the California branch of the Internet Association. That's a relatively new lobbying group that represents many large tech companies.
Google, Amazon, Facebook, eBay, Twitter, Yahoo, Yelp, Uber and Lyft.
The association also lobbies on issues at the federal level. Callahan says there's plenty to work on, like net neutrality and patent reform.
But also just issues you would never have thought about, like what are the decedent rights to a social media account after the account holder passes away?
But as tech companies start to pay expensive lobbyists, some are asking what that will ultimately cost their customers.
You know, in general, I don't think corporate lobbyists are serving the interests of consumers.
Timothy Carr is with Free Press, a group that works for what it calls a free and open internet. He's especially concerned with how media use is being regulated.
People are listening to music, that are sharing video files. And because it has become much more prominent in the way people use, share, and consume media, it also has a much higher profile in policy discussions.
And the growing cloud of tech companies means they'll likely have a larger role in future legislative discussions. In Sacramento, I'm Katie Orr for Marketplace.
Airport check-in between the shoe removal, the long lines, and the confusion over what exactly needs to be put into a separate bin for scanning is awful. The TSA seems to recognize that and is offering $15,000 in prize money to the person who can come up with a better check-in system. North Carolina Public Radio's Leonita Inge has the story.
Airport travelers often complain about long security lines and time-consuming pat-downs. So for the next 3 weeks, you and I can submit a proposal to help solve expected problems with TSA's Fast Lane or pre-check program. Andrew Sawyer is a spokesman for Raleigh-Durham International Airport.
We do see a lot of our customers using it.
But as more people register for this pre-check system, it's bound to get as clogged as the regular one that leaves travelers with no shoes and open laptops. Duke University professor David Shanzer is director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security. He says getting ideas from the public could be a winning strategy.
While $15,000 seems like a lot to win in a contest, I think in the scheme of federal contracting, if you come up with some really good ideas and solutions, it could be a bargain.
A bargain for the federal government, which, by the way, charges $85 just to apply for that pre-check-in program. I'm Leonita Inge for Marketplace.
In Chicago, a new tech incubator called The Bunker has just opened, and there's a twist. It is only for startup companies whose founders are veterans of the U.S. military. Joseph Kopser is one of the veterans whose startup was accepted in. He's the CEO of Ride Scout, a mobile app that promises to get you around more efficiently. Joseph, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about Chicago and The Bunker, the tech incubator. Did you have to apply to get in?
That's right. So many cities have tech accelerators or incubators. The Bunker is unique because its focus from the start is going to be that of veteran-owned, veteran-founded companies. And not to say that people aren't supportive of veteran entrepreneurs, but in many cases they think that the typical entrepreneur has to look or smell like something coming out of Silicon Valley. And so we help to break through a lot of those stereotypes.
Does Ride Scout make it a priority to employ veterans?
Oh, absolutely. Among the very first hires we made were two more Army buddies that we had served with because we knew their character, we knew their work ethic, and we knew those are the kind of people that we wanted to work with. And then as we expand, we'll be continuing to hire veterans all along the way.
Tech incubators for veterans and tech startups founded by veterans are becoming a bigger thing, more and more popular. And I wonder, why do you think that is?
When you're coming out of the military, you're not learning the vocabulary of the business world. So the incubators that are veteran-focused help in that. But the other reason why we recognize very quickly that veterans do three things really well that help in any business setting, and one is we work well in teams. Second is we solve problems by identifying the real problem very quickly. And then number three is once you've been shot at in combat, you don't sweat the small stuff. It's a nice 1-2-3 punch that works out well.
Interesting. So what's your advice for a young veteran who wants to get into tech?
Well, the first thing they have to do is just learn the language. But more importantly, what I really want them to do is reach back to the connections of people that they knew that they serve with who know the content of their character and know their work ethic and can give them that introduction you need. Because at the end of the day, all business comes down to relationships. And so if they have to understand, it's a balance of not just understanding the language of business, but they also have to maintain those relationships.
So it's all about networking. Joseph Kopser is CEO of Ride Scout, a mobile app that's designed to get you from one place to another faster, smarter, and cheaper. Joseph, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, hitchhiking may have gone out of style, but a pair of professors in Canada have built a robot that is hitching 4,000 miles across that country this summer. The point of Hitchbot, which can talk when plugged into a cigarette lighter, is to determine whether robots can trust humans. Hitchbot can't move on its own and depends on the kindness of strangers to pick it up off the side of the road and keep it safe. And so far, they have. I'm Noelle King, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.